Am I green still? We go. Is that good? All right. Keep charging that one. If it goes red, let me know. In our studies that we've been doing here lately, somewhat topical, but not. We've been looking at what the only way I know to describe it is body life. The only way I know to describe it is what we call body life. And today I wanted to look at the term ekklesia. You guys know what that is? Ekklesia? The church. Ekklesia. It means the church. I want to look at that. I'm going to start out here. The very first time the church is mentioned, is found, is in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. And it says, verse 13 to 20. It says, "Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, 'Who do people say that the Son of Man is?' And they said, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, some Jeremiah, or one of the prophets.' And He said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' Simon Peter replied, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered him, 'Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but My Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.' Then He strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that He was the Christ." Today we're going to consider two questions. What is the church, and what is the church's function? We were in Matthew 16, 13 to 20. Yep. We're going to consider what is the church and what are its two functions. As we've been looking in Luke and studying those sections that deal with Christ as our accepted mediator and Messiah, we're heading into passages that bring into a full view of Christ's teachings and His example of what the body of Christ is and will represent to the world. You think about it, we're just now starting to get to the point where we're starting into His ministry. You know, all this time we've been building up to that point, and now we're looking at His ministry, the ministry of Christ. It was to show us an example. Obviously, it was as our Redeemer, our Savior, our Lord, but it was to show us an example of what we are supposed to be like. We're supposed to model and imitate Christ, and that's throughout the Scriptures. Luke did not end there, as the Gospels are the theology and decreed commands of God. In the book of Acts and the epistles, those are the doctrines in application and the teachings of Christ as played out for us to see. So you think about it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're teaching us doctrine and theology. But the rest of the Scriptures teach us doctrine in application. How that all plays out. I mean, if you look at the book of Ephesians, for example, the first three chapters are full of doctrine, and the last three, are full of application on how we live out our lives as Christians in light of the fact that we've been called and blessed and commanded and predestined and all those wonderful things in, you know, the first three chapters. But we have to understand what is the church. If I tell you we're going to go to church today, it's Sunday, so let's go to church. Is that an accurate statement? Is that an accurate statement? The answer is no. You see, the problem is I don't want you to forget, this building is not the church. It actually used to be a laundromat. This building's not the church. You are the church. See the difference? That's why we can have an assembly together in our basement and it be the assembly of believers in the church. Right? That's why it's not how big the church is or how small the church is, but who the church is. Baker's Encyclopedia says this, "The church is a group or assembly of called persons together for a particular purpose." The term appears only twice in the Gospels, Matthew 16:18 and 18:17, but frequently in the books of Acts and letters to Paul and the remaining New Testament writings, especially Revelation. Did you know that in the Gospels, the church is only mentioned twice? But I want you to think about the importance of it. The Bible makes it clear that Christ came for His church. I mean, think about how our example as husbands and wives are to be as examples of Christ and His church. That's what we see right there. The use of the word in the New Testament is somewhat dependent upon the Old Testament Greek word, which is designated as a congregation or an assembly. Okay? In the Old Testament, they didn't use the word church. They were just an assembly. I mean, you see it in, Deuteronomy 4:10, Judges 20:20, verse 2, and so many other places. I'll just give you a couple examples. In the Greek, that word is, church is designated as assembly of people and a meeting such as generally summoned in political, as a political body, but it takes on a new and different meaning when you apply Christ as the head of that church. Okay? The church is both a universal reality and it's also a local, concrete expression. More specifically, designated in Paul's writings as the church of God or the church of Christ. In this way, a common secular Greek term receives its distinctive Christian meaning. You see, in the Old Testament, it was a group of assembled people that came together. But in the New Testament, under Christ and by His power, that word took on a whole different meaning. Almost as if you would say, what is baptism in the Old Testament? And then see what the difference is in the New Testament. So, let's see. I want to give you a few examples of this. And so the church is a body of believers who are joined together as a member of a local assembly. We don't see the Roman Catholic, overarching principle where you've got the Pope that's overleading everybody and telling everybody what to do. That's just not what the Scriptures teach. Yet we are also an entire organism that is made up of every single blood-bought, born-again, predestined child of Almighty God. In other words, when I told you, and I've told you, and I've told you, that we, when we go out and witness to people, we're not going out just to nameless people, we're looking for our family members. We're looking for our family members. It's that important. Now here's what you got to ask yourself. 1 Corinthians 12:27. I'm going to jump back up to Romans 16:16. Listen to this. Greet each other with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. Everybody start kissing. Is that what that meant? No, the emphasis is on the people of Christ. All the churches of Christ, the individual churches of Christ, and their custom was to greet each other in such a manner. What did the Lord say? He says, by this all men will know that you're my disciples if you have love for me. Is that what He said? One another. There you go. In Acts chapter 11, verse 22, it says, the report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem. 1 Corinthians 1:2 says, the church of God that is in Corinth, and those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who are in every place, call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that saying that the church of God in Corinth is in every place in the whole world? No. But that we all recognize that there are bodies of believers all over the world, and we are brothers and sisters together. Colossians 4:15-16 says, "Give my greeting to the brothers at Laodicea and Nympha, and the church in her house." Ooh, I wonder if that's not biblical. Maybe there's some people who need to start reading their Bibles a little bit. Home churches are a biblical thing. It doesn't need to stay that way. I mean, we can grow as God will lead it. It may have to go back that way. You know, we may be there before too long. You know, especially if we don't start getting paycheck in here before too long. Start paying the bills, you know. But if you will, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to read, starting in verse 12. Because I want you to see this. As this called out body of believers, it's important to note that we are called into a body. Not to be individuals and rogues. God actually uses the analogy of the human body. He describes us. He describes Himself as the head of the church. Right? But He uses the body analogy in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 to 31. But he leads to a point so that we understand that Christ is the head of the church. In other words, we follow Him. Right? We follow Him in example and duty and obedience as Christians. We are called out body of believers, separate from the world, but joined necessarily together in Christ. I'll put it to you like this. Lisa, you're a Christian, but you're not a church unto yourself. Right? You understand that? And there's a lot of people that don't. There are a lot of people that run around, they have no clue what it means to be in the church, and they don't want to be yoked together with the church. Because all those hypocrites are there. Because there's too much doctrine, theology, there's not enough, they're not good enough for me. I mean, I have friends of mine who refuse to go to a church because of some of the smallest issues in the world, and they're the enlightened ones, and I'm going, but wait a minute, how in the world can you even be happy? I had a brother, a friend of mine, that I actually called out Friday about this. I said, "Brother, are you in church yet?" "I can't find one." I said, "You'll find the best one you can, you get in there and you serve." Okay? If they're doctrinally off on salvation, Christ, the atonement, the necessity of Christ, exclusivity of Christ, if they're doctrinally off on the Trinity, if the core essential doctrines, okay, we stay away from those. But we go find the best thing we can get a hold of because we want to be a part of the body of believers. And I'll say this, and I've said it before, you need to listen to me, there are probably a high likelihood that there's Christians at Joel Osteen's church. You hear that? I didn't say Joel Osteen was a Christian for one second. I don't see any evidence. But I'll guarantee you that God has probably placed Christians there. Amen. Yeah? All those pagans all over the place. Yeah? Amen. Now you think about it. What are they there for? To be salt and light. Why am I talking about the church? Listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 to 31. "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body." Underline that. Are one body. "So it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jew and Greek, slave and free. We are all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not the hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them as He chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Underline that, please. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty. Which are our more presentable parts do not require. Which our more presentable parts do not require, but God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. Underline that. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first, apostles, prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings and helps and administrating and various kinds of tongues. All are apostles? All are prophets? Are all teachers? I read that wrong. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues and do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. So what's going on here? Think about this. How many people are called to be the pastor? I mean, I see churches all over the place where you've got the lead pastor, and then you've got the second pastor, then the runner-up pastor, then the bunting pastor, and then the kickoff pastor, and then you've got the jokes and assignments pastor, and you got the lay pastor, and you got this pastor. That, how many pastors are there? The Bible says there's one pastor in the church. Now, if you want to call these people pastors, whatever, they're elders called to work together. There's one pastor and a group of elders. Who's in charge of the music at the church? The pastor, he's got to oversee it. It's not that he sits there and he wields his authority. He looks at the scripture and he says, the Bible declares that this is true doctrine and theology. This stuff is outside of it. Or maybe these sections. That's what Tom does down at Grace Life. He'll sit there and he'll go through scriptures and passages and take stuff to Brother Jeff, and they'll look at it together and they'll say, I don't like these words. You ever notice they change the words on stuff? That's the reason. But he does it under the authority of the pastor, not all by himself. Okay? So many pastors, I'm the youth pastor. Well, where are the kids at? I don't know. They're over here in this room, this building, somewhere else. Nail and gel the wall. And guess what? Nobody has, making certain videos of, Harlem Shake videos and all that silly stuff. Yes, they certainly did, right down the road. Yeah, there's a bunch of them did it. Oh, I've seen 20 or 30 of them. But you know what gets me? You know why all this is going on? This right here. Nobody recognizes the authority of the church. It starts with Christ, and we are all co-equals. I have a job to do. You have a job to do. Wake up, Brandon. You've got a job to do too. Think about it. Sit up so you're not tired. We all have a job to do. Don't we? Aiden's got something to do. He's got to go run somewhere, I guess. But think about it. We all, every one of us, have a job to do. And as needs are arise, guess what? We look for somebody else to fill that job. We look for somebody to take that job. But all of that means absolutely nothing if you miss what the function and purpose of the church is. Let me put it to you like this. On sermon audio, we've got tons and tons and tons. I can't tell you how many right now, but tons of people that listen to our sermons constantly. Churches, individuals, all over the place, right? We've got people coming along, looking on Facebook and on Twitter and Twitter. And I keep wanting to call it Tweeter. I don't know why, but all this tweeting thing. Yeah, I want to call it that. But all over the place we have people, and then we have gospel tracts running, you know, around. But I want you to understand something. The purpose is not to build this church, this building, the number of people that come here. God's going to do that. Okay? I'll be honest with you. I'm praying that God does it soon. I want to see more people coming in. I want to see more people, more opportunities for them to serve, for us to serve, for us to learn to be the body of Christ. You need to realize something. These sermons that you've been listening to, you're going to hear them all over again. Okay? They're never going to end. It's like, you're going to be like, I've heard this 100,000 times. And you're going, but he hasn't. And this one hasn't. Because the goal is to bring in and make disciples. We do it through the sound teaching God's Word, through the preaching, the admonition, the understanding, the discipleship. But what's the first thing we got to do first? What's the thing we have to do before we do all this other stuff as the body of Christ? What's that? Meant to be one accord. Above, we have seen the local assembly that's called together for discipleship, doctrinal teaching and edification, and the keeping the sacraments. I want to read one more to you before we get started talking about the function of the church. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 9, it reads this way. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower regions of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. By the way, this is talking about Jacob's ladder. In Luke, we'll be talking about that here in a week or so. This is the fulfillment of what Jacob's ladder's vision was. The angels coming to and from and all these things. This is what it's talking about. Far above all the heavens that he might fill all things, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building of the body of Christ. Underline that. To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. You know what I'm looking for? I'm looking for godly men and women who will come in and who will grow to a point where they can grow others. Titus ministry, all these things we got going on, praise God. That's what I want to see, because that's our calling right here. We're supposed to equip the saints. We're supposed to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, not just so they can be good people, but so that they can work in the ministry. And you say, but wait a minute, are they all called to be pastors? No, but every single one of them are called, every person is called to do what? To serve in some way as apostles and prophets and teachers and evangelists. Well, so the office of the apostle, that's done and over with. The big A apostle is done and over with. That's already happened. So that position is done out. What about the prophets? See, there's two different types. There's people that foretell things to come and foretell things that are. And that's what we're doing right now. That's what we're doing right now. So when somebody comes walking in, knock on the door, say, I'm an apostle, I'm saying, there's the door. Because I'm a prophet, and it says, you're gone. There you go. But you see, you think about it. We're supposed to equip the saints in all things. That's the reason I asked Greg to step up here and help me teach. That's the reason I asked you all to rotate with us on the kids. And by the way, that's the reason I'm wanting everybody to start stepping up even more. But we don't just do that in here. In here, you're getting meat. I hope you guys recognize there's a lot of meat. You know, and that's the purpose of the church. is we're supposed to work together producing that meat and bringing that out and that strong teaching so that everyone that comes in here is soundly fed so they can stand in their own ministry. But the next thing you have to realize is the function of the church. What is it that we're supposed to be about? You got to ask yourself a couple of questions. Is our job and calling to get a better building? How about more rooms? It'd be nice, wouldn't it? It'd be kind of nice to be able to have a room that didn't echo and creak and everything else. How many of you guys walked in here and looked around when this place first started out and we first started up saying, this isn't enough? Not one person. Everybody walked in here and said, praise the Lord, look at this. Hallelujah. Oh man, we can paint the walls and we can have to throw some slaps and knees here and done. And hey, let's have, okay, church time. Praise the Lord. Y'all get out of my basement. But think about it. Guys, listen to me. It's not about this building. Are y'all uncomfortable or mostly comfortable in the chairs? It's not about that. It's not even about that. You know what it's about? It's about you getting yourself ready and me helping you to get ready and Greg helping you get ready and Lisa helping get these kids ready and you helping Nolan to get these kids ready. Tom, same for you guys. So that when 250,000 people leave this place after the end of this week, we don't sit back and say, hey everybody, we got to witness 250,000 people. Let's go rot in the church now. Ain't got nothing to do with that. We're going out here because God's opened the opportunity, the door up for the NASCAR outreach. Because I believe everybody here is fully convinced that this is what God wants us to do. I am equally convinced that He wants us right out here. I'm equally convinced that this community needs to be touched with the gospel. I'm equally convinced that we're not doing enough. I don't know what we got to do other than set aside some time and purposefully go out and minister. Why? Christ commanded it. It's a matter of obedience. And we do it better together and work together and do it intentionally when we're together and we exalt and build up one another and say, oh, look what you did. You did a great job here, right? I mean, it's so much easier when we're doing it together than it is apart. In a lot of cases, correct? But it's also to tell people and to expose people to the truth and to bring them into deeper, get out of the milk, get out of the baby food formula stuff, and get over here into the meat. That's what we need to be doing, guys. That's what we should be about. And that's what the Scripture here tells us is our purpose. I want to read something to you. This was amazing. I found this from Charles Spurgeon. I don't know if you guys have heard of him or not. I found this from Charles Spurgeon. Somebody's knocking on the door. I'm sorry. Somebody's knocking on the door. Never mind. Never mind. Oh boy. I found Charles Spurgeon talking about preaching outside. He's talking about evangelism, right? And unfortunately, let's see. If this will pop up here, I apologize for that, for it not having it ready. I want to read this to you. It's only about 30 pages long, so I just want to read you a small portion. Give me just a second here. As soon as I find it. Okay, ready? No sort of defense is needed for preaching out of doors. But it would be very potent. It would need very potent arguments to prove that a man had done his duty who has never preached beyond the walls of his meeting house. A defense is required, rather, for services within buildings than for worship outside of them. All through the Scriptures, you see the church at this place and the church at that place. You see the churches all over the place. Go to Acts chapter 3, verses 11 to 19. I'm going to continue reading, but go to Acts chapter 3, verse 11 to 19. A defense is rather required for service within the buildings than for worship outside of them. Apologies are certainly wanted for architects who pile up brick and stone into the skies where there is where there is so much need of preaching rooms among poor sinners down below. Defense is greatly needed for forest of stone pillars, which prevent the preacher from being seen and his voice from being heard. For high-pitched Gothic roofs, in which all sound is lost and men are killed by being compelled to shout till they burst their blood vessels, and also for the willful creation of echoes by exposing hard sound refracting surfaces to satisfy the demands of art and the total overlooking of the comfort of both audience and speaker. I'll finish that in a minute. Acts 3, 11 and 19. While he clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them at the portico called Solomon's. And when people saw it, he addressed the people. Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? He just healed a man. Or why do you stare at us as though by our own piety, our own power or piety, we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate. When he had decided to release him, but you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murder to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses, and his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, so as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of the prophets, that his Christ would suffer and thus be fulfilled. Verse 19, repent therefore and turn back to your sins. Turn back that your sins may be blotted out. Let me ask you a question. Where was he at? Solomon's portico. He was at, it's an outer porch. Humongous outer porch. It's got a cover on it, but you know what? It's out so everybody can hear it. That's all through Scripture. In the Old Testament and the New Testament, the proclamation of the gospel was both in the church. The proclamation of God and His commands were both in the church, but mostly out in the streets. That's not just the pastor's duty. It's all of our duty. We are all called to do the work of the evangelist, to proclaim the truth of God, to herald the truth and hand out gospel tracts and witness to people and go door to door and knock and knock and knock. The Bible says compelling them to come in. The Bible says compelling them to come to the church, to come and repent and believe the gospel and be discipled so that they can go out and do the same thing all over again. That's our job. That's this church's job. It's not to sit by and hopefully 5 or 10 years from now we'll have 4 or 5 more people show up, and 10 or 15 years from now when we soften everything up and make it, you know, Rock Band Stadium here, we can have thousands of people show up. It's not to go 30 floors high. Yep, sorry, not that. So what was Peter and these guys doing here? He was being obedient to Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came to them and He said, "All authority is given in heaven and earth has been given to Me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." That's the primary command. It wasn't go therefore, I like the chairs, and make red chairs. It wasn't go therefore and make, Harlem Shake music. Harlem Shake music. You know, it wasn't all that silliness. Guys, we haven't, this we come together to disciple, and listen to me, I'm not mad at anybody. I love the fact that we got this, God's put us together and you know, we're able to have this church building and my prayer is though that we start seeing some come in that we may disciple and teach and grow. Okay? That's what we're to be about. But we got to do that out there. You know, we can all stand here by the window, move all the cars and smile and wave at everybody. How many people are going to show up? Just as many people that look at this building and say, "Look at the crazy people up there with the Grace Reformed Baptist Church sign." Then they'll say, "Look, there's the crazy people lined up waving at us." It's the preaching of the cross that is the power of God unto salvation. It's the preaching of the cross. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, Julia, that you need to go out here and open air preach. That's not your calling. That's not your job. I'm not saying that. That's your job. But what I'll say this is this, Tom, Greg, Aiden, your job is to lead by example as witnesses. My job is to lead by an example. I heard Matt Fowler talking about modeling as a pastor. Unless you're modeling in every area, you're not modeling correctly. We have to lead in all areas as pastors. I'm trying very hard to lead in this area, and I think we need to step up and do a little more in this section of going out door to door. It's scary and uncomfortable. But guess what? That's where our family's at. That's where the lost are at. That's where the people that say, "Christ, who's that?" I've never had anybody come to the door and say, "Bertha, get the shotgun, it's those Christians." I've never had them do it. I've never had them do it, guys. And that's what every one of you are thinking. It's going to happen. Somebody's going to pull a gun. No, they're not. No, they're not. They're going to say thank you. You know why? Because so many churches are so busy playing games, they don't have a clue what the gospel is. These people out here don't have a clue what the gospel is. You've got the golden jewel of redemption at your hands. My admonition is this. Let's go do the work. Let's go do the work. Look, we know what God wants us to do and how to do it, and we know how to grow into godly people, mentor them, and grow them. Let's do that. I'm going to say this. In our Titus ministry, if the focus is not the gospel every time, it's a waste of time. With our Titus women, Titus men, if it's not, what's the gospel? You coming in here? Okay, let's pray. Let's work the gospel. Let's pray. Let's work out these issues and figure out what's the gospel. Think about this. End of the spear. You went through that and the beyond the gates of splendor. Why did they go over there? Was it so that they would get in a yellow plane and get speared and be famous? That's the gospel. That's the whole reason you guys have any clue who these people are and why you're talking about Elizabeth Elliot and her passion and purity is because they laid their lives down for the gospel and they live it. Now they come here. What's that tribe? Wildani. Now they come here to witness. Because there's so many pagans in America. Guys, look. I mean, it does cause me to cry sometimes. As we're sitting here, I look and I see all the cars driving by. Now, at this moment in time, most churches are out. We're the crazy ones. But you think about it. Think about it. Most churches, while we're sitting here holding service from 9 to 12, most churches are in session, and we look around, we see people just wandering around doing their own thing. And I'll guarantee you, I've talked to so many people and hand them out. I mean, everything we've got, as you notice, we've been running through it. Praise God. We've been running through this stuff. I'm not saying we haven't. Okay? This isn't attack, you know, time. This is a little admonition. I just want to work on us and our goal and why are we a church. Because you think about it. Lisa's got, you're in charge of the accounting books, and Greg, you guys are in charge of the accounting books, and we oversee it and whatnot. I want you to know something. If we have to shut these doors and take everything out of here and go back downstairs to the basement or go over to your basement, we have to go over and do all that. Okay? Their basement's nicer. We're going to take it. But guess what? That's not a loss. Think about it. It's not a loss. As long as we don't forget what our calling is. Our calling is not to build the church bigger here at this building, but to build the church of God through the preaching and presentation of the gospel. You know what's going to happen here in 4 days? 5 days? There are people going to be saved at this race. You may never meet them until we get to heaven. But you mark my words, God's going to save some of His elect here at this meeting. I had the privilege of going up here to the Sheriff's Department, and I did not want to go. I'm not kidding you. I took my kid up to Wyatt with the school. He could go sing. I didn't want to go because you guys, I mean, it's just like, I know every one of them. They want to minister to the Sheriff's Department. So I go up, and I happened to be the first person to walk in because I had all the drinks. I go walking in, and lined up all the way down this 60-foot long hallway are all the officers that I've worked with pretty much all my career. All the way down through, hey Justin, all the way down through there talking and everything else. And I'm going, yes Lord. And I went and handed every single one of them a business card gospel tract. I said, look at the back of it and give me a call. Every one of them. You know what I found out? Several people wanting to give me a call and want some counseling because they're having such a hard time as police officers, distraught, terrible lives. Our job is not to be sitting here. Aiden, that's why I asked you to come up with some ideas. All you guys. I can't be the only one thinking the ideas. I know I'm not, but this is admonition time. I want ideas on what we can do to reach this community. As long as it doesn't break the bank, we'll do it. And if it does break the bank, we might have to just close the bank up and go somewhere else where we can just use all of our money towards that. I don't care. Think about it. I want to reach this community. Guys, I'm so desperate. I mean, it's just, I'm not from this area, but I've absolutely fallen in love with Blountville, Tennessee. I love the Tri-Cities. I think there's no place that I've ever seen that's more beautiful than this. You know, she comes from flat nothing country I know you think it's beautiful because you can look up in the sky for 60 miles and see the exact same thing.
It's like Texas. The sky.
I know.
It really is.
I agree. Listen to this. Give me 5 minutes. Listen to this. I said 5 minutes. That means 15, but 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 3-8 says this. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. The most important thing we can do. Think about it. Joshua was sitting right in there. And one day I pray God's going to save his soul. That won't happen if this isn't the most important thing we do. Wyatt and Gracie, Michaela, Greg's family, Gary's family, Nolan's family, y'all's family, my family, if this is not of first importance, the most important thing that we do, then we are absolutely doing church as a congregation for the wrong reason. Everything's about the gospel. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but the theme of everything that we've preached has been to explain the gospel and who the gospel is perfectly as we can. I know sometimes it gets long-winded and gets drawn out and you guys are saying, she says, well, what's the Trinity? I thought we'd teach on Trinity. You've been going on Jesus Christ for like 7 months or whatever. I'm going like, because it's important. We need a full-orbed understanding of that. There's a bunch of people going to be. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas, and then to 12, and then to the 12. Then He appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James and then all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, He appeared unto me. Think about what they're saying. Christ is alive. You know it. I've got proof. And let's go talk about it. Let's go proclaim the gospel. The most important thing I do is to build a big church, have a nice suit, sparkly white teeth, perfect hair, and make a lot of money, right? No. No. Guys, I think we all know it. I think we're settled in this. The most important thing we do is to proclaim the gospel. We need to make every single opportunity. I'm going to say it this way. If you have to adjust your schedule so that you can, at certain times, go out with us, adjust your schedule. This is more important. Guys, I'll adjust my schedule every day, all day for you. Diane tells you, most times when you guys call up, I've got, things going on. My schedule can be thrown out the window. I can adjust it in a second. Don't bother me. That's what we need to be about doing. Our schedule needs to be around the gospel. Okay? Everything that we do. Now, there are certain times you can't. When you're at work and you've got these solid things you can't do, that's fine. But when you're not, and we've got things we can shift around, let's do that. Let's work out times when we can, either as the entire church or as groups, go out to be intentional witnesses. Right? I think that's what we need to be doing. Plus, I think it's going to help be an example for us adults to all the young kids in this area. So that they see it and it's part of their lives. Last thing, and I'll leave it alone. We're commanded in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 to 10, it says this: I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word. Be instant, or be ready, in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. Verse 8, chapter 2, verse 8 says this: Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. What it says here is, He's enduring everything for the sake of the elect, and then He's going out to find them. He's doing everything for the sake of the elect, and He's going out so that they may obtain salvation. Election doesn't save you. Salvation does. That was 5 minutes? Okay. I told y'all 5 minutes. So what are we going to do this week? Preach the word and be about the gospel. Make cookies.
Work.
Bring in money.
Request specific prayers.
Absolutely.
Brought it to my mind, and it's been on my mind off and on. We've got one about ready to graduate.
Hang on just a second.
In graduation.
Absolutely.
The family in. And we have, on my side especially, a lot of unsaved family. And my dad, maybe, my biological dad, not the man who raised me, but my biological dad may be coming, raising graduation. He is not saved. And then my sister's husband, Brian, may also be coming in.
Amen.
So, yeah, it's an opportunity.
Amen.
So people have been praying for us for a long time.
We absolutely will. We absolutely will.
You know, it just brought that to my heart.
Amen.
It's on my heart.
I know.
You get to
think, absolutely.
Forget,
well, let's pray. Aiden, pray with us, brother. He's ready to go. Heavenly Father.